My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Sintel.
And you are awaited.
You Are Awaited is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where members of Clan Diaper Panther and members of Clan Nurse Tiger get together, cross tribal boundaries, to come together and revel in the goodness of cinematic adventure, cultural philosophy, and geographical anthropology.
And let it be a healing experience for the both of us.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Oh, fantastic.
I feel like kissing you right now.
I just feel like it's been a little while, and I'm happy to be back.
Me too.
Feel amped up. I gotta say, as means of introduction to this, because I suspect there'll be a lot to talk about here.
God damn it. I feel like we should just watch it over and over again, like six times, just to make sure we get all the little beats.
We're gonna miss it all. We're gonna miss all of it, okay. Because that feels like a 30-minute sequence. And the first 2 minutes, I was like, that feels like 6 minutes has gone by. Let me check the timer. Only 2 minutes have gone by. And I thought, I'm out of shape from podcasting. Because I feel like I don't understand how to judge time right now.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I did, because I was like, this is going to be, in my head I was thinking, this is going to be the one time that we miss the, because I had it cranked up so loud tonight.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, we didn't hear the timer go off.
I'm going to make
And I looked at you and I actually said, what?
It was
show me
minutes.
The time.
It was two.
It was two at that point.
That was two at that point.
And then I hit it again because I'm like, we have
and
we still have 56 seconds left. I'm like, 56 seconds?
What is happening? And then a whole other story happened in that last 56 seconds.
God damn it.
I want to make a bold claim to you here in this moment, Yuri.
That's all you do.
I'm going to take a sip of my Pellegrino first.
I'm going to take a sip of my Crystal Geyser sparkling spring water. Last time we were drinking beer.
We were. I think... that this is the most action-packed 4 minutes we've done yet on this podcast. True or false?
Oh. I wanted to say no, because there have been plenty of... Mm-hmm. And then I just started going back through it to think, and I'm like, you know, George Miller's done it again.
I really think this is the most action that we've seen in any 4 minute sequence, probably by 30% or so.
And any person who comes to me and says, oh, but then, you know, the whole thing is, and they go back the way they came, can go fuck themselves. Because, you know, with all the chasing and all the action that we've seen so far, you have not seen any of this yet.
Yeah.
And he ramps it up even more. How does he do it?
George Miller, how do you do it?
How do you do it,
guys,
George Miller?
Guys, we're still trying to get George Miller on the podcast.
We are.
Just so
you know, not to get you excited and let you down, but we put the call out to just sort of our circle going, does anybody, because we were, you know, emboldened by our
episode with
Mark
success.
Sexton, the sextess.
The success.
That we had, success yep. with Sexton.
Mm-hmm. We understood what you were doing.
Yeah, we'd say, okay. and so we reached out to our circle, and it turns out we have a lot of connections to people who worked on the film.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of them so far have been able to.
By we, Yuri means Yuri. But
by we, I mean me.
That's correct. But so far, none of them have.
But me and you, we're still, you know, the same. I mean, we're sort of one of the same.
I'm happy to ride your coattails all the way to fucking Valhalla, brother.
Oh.
Do it.
There.
No!
Oh!
Yeah, it's better.
Okay, that's a little better.
That's good.
That was even better.
Well,
what's it do with the Predator? Oh, yeah. See the Predator? Yeah.
Predator always
wins. And then the Journey?
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't... Yeah, okay.
It doesn't make a good noise, but it feels
right.
Good.
That was good.
Do you know what's really interesting to podcast listeners? Noises of high fives.
Yeah, no, that's... And
honestly, guys, we get the most feedback about how good the high fives sound,
are, right.
So we're going to keep doing it.
Right.
Until you give us feedback on something else,
right.
God
and
bless
by,
you.
And by feedback, he means the two people who can, you know, consistently give us feedback.
Correct. So I think
hopefully we'll get some more guests in the future. We're looking at a lot of really cool people, but they're all very, very busy, and I'm hoping that we can get even a couple of them.
Yeah, it would be great. And if you are listening to this podcast and you were
on
the
film...
Yeah,
and you're like, hey, I'll reach out to my friend who did the whatever on this film. We will talk to
you
them.
You know who I really want to talk to the most?
Who?
The caterer. Because...
That would be
I feel like catering
nuts.
In that desert environment feels very challenging.
I would love to talk to the caterer. Right. Is anybody on the caterer?
I have a friend. Quick side story. We'll get into this. We have a lot of ground to cover, but this is a funny story. My friend was doing a movie in London, just outside London, very low budget. And they would basically go scout locate. They knew the general location. They'd scouted the general locations, but they're like, okay, this battle sequence will play here, and here's how this action will work, or whatever, when they got to the sort of day of.
Right.
And the lead actor had a requirement, that's hard to say for me, in his rider that he would have tea every day.
He had tea in England.
Seems, yeah, standard. They'd have a tea break or whatever. And there was this, he brought on his own tea woman who would make tea. She had a little cart. And all day she'd make tea, come out with fresh tea, get the cups, go back, clean them, make tea, come out.
I want her to come to my house.
Sounds amazing, right? She'd have little biscuits and cucumber sandwiches.
Oh.
Very Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
So anyway, my friend who was directing it recalls this one day where they're going out. They found this great sort of grassy sort of hill that they're going to stage this slanted battle, this mano a mano sort of sword fight action sequence on. And they're like, great, everyone in agreement. This all works for everybody. Camera department, like, we're all cool. And you hear this voice go, no, no, it will never work. Where will we put the tea? And literally, they couldn't film on that location because the tea lady overruled the set they'd picked. So they had to go find flat ground so they could have tea.
Wow.
So I want to ask the caterer what the fuck happened with Mad Max.
Right?
Where will we put the tea?
Where will we put the tea?
And the lead actor apparently went, well, she's right. You know, where will we put the tea?
And they were all like, okay, we'll find somewhere else, even though this place was perfect.
Fair point.
Wow.
What do you think? Do you think we should just try to work our way through this?
Sure, why not? And then we'll double back to pick up things when we remember.
All right, let me take the first stab at it.
Do it.
Because I think this is
Thank
where...
Thank God, I did not want to be in charge of that.
No, I just want to take the first sentence, basically.
I'm so happy to see you.
You too.
I've missed you.
High five.
Gentle high five.
We have a good time here, guys.
We do.
Here's the thing about this podcast. We're just two dudes having a good time.
Right?
Two dudes having a good time.
Two dudes having a good time.
Two dudes, one good time. So... what happens here, we left off with Slit blowing the gasoline into his engine.
Which I have not done any research on to see exactly
what
that's...
Is it gasoline? Question mark?
Yeah, I think so. I just don't know why it works.
Tom Hardy now is doing it on his engine. Mm-hmm. And we have this remarkable situation where, I think this is where it starts, correct me if I'm wrong about this, mm-hmm. but as we had told before, the war rig is going, and then hidden behind the war rig is one of those badass motorcycles with two of the Vavolini on it.
Right.
The
one who is the bait.
Yeah, the bait, right?
Who's kick-ass rifle chick.
And then the one with some cool steampunk goggles.
Right, right.
So they pull up ahead of the war rig
Diesel
just enough.
Punk in this case.
What's that?
Diesel punk in this case.
Oh. Fair.
There you go.
You're an expert on steampunk. I forgot that.
I'm an expert on punk.
If someone said to you, Wild Wild West is all steampunk has, would you say that's a crazy sentence?
Yes.
Great. So the motorcycle pulls up ahead of the war rig, takes a shot, knocking the driver of Slit's car right through the fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Just clocks him. The car veers off to the right, taking out of business. Slit's now done for.
Yeah.
And then pulls back behind, and old Boney has a nice little cackle at it.
Yeah.
She thinks that's the funniest fucking thing.
Right. Old Boney, who I have since learned, Keeper of the Seeds is the name of... Which makes all the sense in the world.
Almost too
appropriate. It's almost too on the nose. I'm sure she has... Or maybe those are their names. You know
could
what I mean?
I propose changing it to Old Boney?
Sure.
I think Yuri nailed that one.
If we have George Miller on, we should convince him to call her Old Boney.
Can we take the whole hour with him? Like, okay, George, we have a couple pitches for you.
Right.
We shoot all of Zoe Kravitz's parts, and then rename Keeper of the Seeds to Old Boney.
Old Boney.
Yes or no?
Those are right. Those are our only requests. Everything else you nailed.
Take it or leave it. That's the only two flaws in the film.
And in true great George Miller style, this moment is... We didn't even know that she was on that motorcycle. Like, we've just seen the war rig powering back through... It's neck and neck with Slit. We don't know, you know. I mean, they're in a dead heat.
Mm-hmm. And it had been introduced to us, but we'd kind of forgotten about it.
Sure,
because it's been 3 weeks.
Right, exactly. and you know, in George Miller's seconds, it's been years,
eternity. Yeah.
And so the reveal that you know that the Warwick pulls back a little bit and the motorcycle comes up and she just nails that guy is.
Sexy.
Is sexy.
It's sexy.
And a beautiful
surprise.
That's
the first
surprise.
5 seconds of this.
Yeah, it okay. Yeah.
So
it really
then,
is. It really
I really
is.
Start to lose the thread. Do you want to take a stab at what happens next?
So much happens. so many different things happen.
That's true.
All at once. Yes, I got it. I picked up the thread again. So that the timing is good, they got rid of Slit because you know how right when she goes off, she says, don't blow my engine before.
Yeah.
You know, by putting too much, because I guess you can overdo it.
Yep.
And they have sort of overdone it. They show the dials, and it's in the red, and one of the engines starts to fail, and they're like, fuck, I'm glad we got rid of Slit, but we're in trouble.
Engine one is down.
Engine one.
Engine two is about to blow.
There you go.
That's what she says.
See, when I don't remember something, you remember it.
We're going to do it together. We're going to get through this fucking thing.
Right. We've got, you know, hell or high water.
Hell or high water.
which is another movie that just came out. But so Max is on it. He's like, "Are you Black Thumb? Good. I need you to work on the engine. You know, we'll take care of the rest of this stuff. We got to keep the rig going. You got to go fix this thing."
Yeah, and he also says fifth wheel, meaning he's going to detach what they're pulling, I think,
right
at this point.
Right.
So there's a lot of things. This is all to Nux. Max says that to Nux.
Right.
So Nux then has this beautiful moment, steps out of the cab, looks back to, wait for it, oh, motherfucker. I have one job on this podcast. It's to know the film Mad Max Fury Road. Her name is, it's not Cheeto, because she has red hair. That would have been too obvious. That was the other one. Mm-hmm. This one is, don't you fucking dare tell me. Let's come back to it, but just don't say her name, because I can't do it right now. This is bad podcasting.
I will. No, this
anyway, describe the moment
this
they
is
have.
Good. This is good podcasting.
I'm blushing
it is,
right now.
It is,
can you tell the listeners that I'm actually blushing?
Yes.
I can't.
He is actually blushing as red as her hair, and I won't say her name because I'm going to let you twist it.
All right, but
talk
about the moment they have without using her name.
He goes off, you know, in this moment, this might be the last time that they see each other. And they share this moment that is beautiful because it is not overplayed. It is not over dramatic. It is not over sexy or over romantic. They don't go in for a kiss. They just look at each other for a second. And the unspoken words are, you know, in my opinion, from watching the exchange, is, "I'm glad that we had that moment. If this is the last moment that we have, I'm glad that we had that moment."
It's a nice little
moment.
He's
almost, and she's almost the real strong one in it. She doesn't give away anything in that moment. She just locks eyes with him. It's a very serious, she's just a very serious face. Mm. And he's the one at the very end who sort of looks down because he's uncomfortable with the look.
Yeah.
And then he goes, which I think is great. It's a huge moment of restraint. It could have been so many other things. And it also keys into the action because they don't have time to belabor that. Mm-mm. I mean, even you could argue that even the time that they spent with eyes locked was too much time, you know, as far as keeping
them
in danger.
I want to say this, too. I can't, first of all, I don't know what the fuck her name is. And I'm real sorry to everybody. It's the one wife I can't remember right now. I haven't been sleeping well, guys. I've had some emotional turmoil the last 4 days.
This podcast will heal you.
Fuck, what is her name?
Capable. Yeah,
Capable, motherfucker! God damn it! Shit!
For the last 2 minutes while I've been going over this, you've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
I could hear Ian yelling from Australia.
It's Cable, you
Capable,
fucking,
you bastards!
You silly twigger!
You twigger.
Yeah.
That's another one we just made up.
Squeeze a twigger!
Squeeze a twigger!
Oh, man.
Because you squeeze a trigger.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, like, there, take that, Australia. We got you. That's frustrating. I couldn't come up with that. But let me move on to a better point, which is one I wanted to make throughout this 4-minute sequence. It is remarkable and also consistent in the film to watch a world where everyone is prepared to die and is okay with it.
Yep.
And I find that to be a profound thought watching this sequence because it infuses and informs the way they act.
Yeah.
And it, you know, Nux has no problem jumping. Yeah, he loves this girl. He loves Capable, but he's quite happy to do the thing he's asked to do. Max jumps up on the thing. You know, Vovellini are almost titillated by some of the violence that they encounter and the threats they encounter.
One man, one bullet.
Everyone's ready to die. Everyone on screen is ready to die, except for maybe Immortan Joe, because his name is Immortan.
Right.
You know, but like, that's
sort of comes
But if you think
territory.
Of it through that lens, like, you watch these people and they're all behaving as if they don't mind dying, which is crazy. How many films have you seen that before?
Never. Once again, I've never, ever seen a film like this, which is why we're doing this today.
America.
Australia.
Okay.
Okay.
So then what happens is they start, now our group starts to disperse. So we have, let's set the stage here.
Okay.
We have fucking massive Carmada behind them.
Which they get sort of revealed in a scene, just in, lest you forget.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that, because that's fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We have the two women, the two Vovellini on the motorcycle.
Yep.
We have two Vovellini outside the back of the cab, right, with guns.
Yep. Yeah.
We have our wives inside the cab, kind of like hunkering down, looking around. Max goes out to the back because they have started to harpoon the back of the tanker.
Not
Are we
yet.
There yet?
Not yet.
No.
Max this is going is, to work is, on. He's the, going to work on separating the.
Got it.
Yeah.
With one of the women, one of the Vovellini, and Nux.
Right. Yes.
Is that right?
No, Nux is working on the engine.
We don't see Nux.
He's
though, right.
He's going with one of the Vovellini.
Nux is underneath.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Got it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. So, and then Max says to the Vavolini, there's right. three bolts.
It's an interesting, very specific line to choose. He could just say, okay, you take care of that.
Yeah.
But he says three bolts. It's very specific. It really stuck with me this time.
You're right.
It's like, I don't know why he felt the need, and by that I mean George Miller, to be that specific with it. But it is an interesting, point to make. You don't just get that one that you're working on right now. There are three of them. Yeah. Make sure you get through all three.
It is very specific in a way that feels pleasurable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Some, no, it stuck out some to me
things,
too, actually.
Some things are, when they become, information that we don't need, I feel a little, overwrought or whatever. But for some reason, that moment, that thing, feels specific in a way that titillates me, that makes me
go, huh.
Huh, as opposed to, okay, we don't, keep going.
Yeah. It's also neat that, I'm with you. I agree with you. It's also neat that in that moment, when it could be a character thing, most movies would try to jam in sort of character exposition. Mm-hmm. He lets, because he recognizes the movie needs a second to breathe there, a second, mm-hmm. to breathe, but he just takes it to give a specific bit of detail.
Right.
Which is neat choice.
Or maybe it's to show that, that's still going to take a little while.
Right. Oh, man.
Maybe
fair.
to show how much time that might take.
And basically he's going to stave them off.
And maybe that's why he went back there with her, because they could have done it pretty quick, but now it's just her.
Okay. That's good. That makes sense.
Why does he leave? Why does he leave her there? Because the two Vavolini in back, I'm trying to think if.
I don't know who they are.
Okay. Well, but they're sort of the rifles, who've basically,
they're providing
rear cover.
Yeah.
So, the Carmada pulls up, and we see exactly how it's that wicked V formation.
Sick F.
Yes, sick as F. And they start firing harpoons into, once again, the sound design. That's I'd love to get the sound editor. We could talk all day about how sound editing makes this film even better and better and better and better. But, you hear the harpoons whooshing by the, and they're slamming into the back of the thing, and they're like, fuck. Yeah. So they call it out. They call it harpoons and plows, which then is also an interesting, harpoons I get. And then you, for a second you go, plows? And then you see that they drop these things that look like plows off the back to help provide drag to slow the war rig down.
Right.
Which is super fucking smart.
Again, that's the way it would happen.
Here's another thing I noticed that maybe it's just in the light of this, and I never noticed it before. You know how we distinguish between the people from the bullet farm, the people from the gas town, and the people, Immortan Joe's war boys. Mm. And some of them looked sort of similar. I think some of these guys are dusted yellow and not white. That is something I had not noticed before.
I didn't notice at all.
And I wonder if that's how they distinguished, guys from, like, Gastown, for example.
Amazing. Will you remember next week to look at that?
Yes.
Because we'll have more chances to do that.
I will look at that more. I think now that I'm aware of that.
Well, I will say, and part of it is what's coming up, though, is it just the members of the Polecats that have the gas masky things on?
Ooh. It's definitely them.
But also, does anyone else have those masks? Because that seems practical. A, we'll get to it. It's badass. Right, but also, it seems practical.
Because this segment is where we first get the Polecats in action.
Oh, we're going to get to it, guys.
Which is something that I think everybody, even people who did not like this movie, who can fucking rot in their graves.
Wow, you got angry this week.
I'm so angry. They talk about this and they're like, but that was cool.
But they can tear
the movie apart and they're like, yeah, but that was cool.
Yeah, because it's objectively cool.
Yeah, and it's something that you truly, I cannot think of, unless you've been to some, this would make, if they introduced a Fury Road Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas, I would buy out every single night
for
the first year.
That idea is trademarked on this podcast. No, and if anyone uses it, you heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
We're timestamping this.
Right.
Because Yuri just fucking nailed it.
Right. Nailed it. What would we call that? Because every Cirque du Soleil show has a fucked up name that really doesn't mean anything to people who speak English.
Carmada or Carmaza.
Oh, Carmada.
Yeah. That feels like a Cirque du Soleil
name. That was fast.
It feels like a Cirque du Soleil name, doesn't it?
Carmada.
Go see. Have you seen Carmada? Kidam and Carmada?
Yeah, right. Ka is sort of my favorite, but yeah. Carmada is definitely a close second.
That's amazing. Okay, we cracked something there. That's really good.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll get back to the Polecats, because technically we haven't gotten to the Polecats yet. Mm-hmm.
So where we at is they've fired the harpoons at the tanker.
The tanker.
We know now.
In. They're slowing him down.
A lot of things that are happening here. So we know that one of the Vovellini is trying to detach the tanker that Max is attached to, correct?
Yes. She's working on the three bolts.
He's trying to buy them time to do that without getting slaughtered. So he's trying to use the, guess what? Bolt cutters again.
Right.
To clip the chains that hold the harpoons to the cars. The cars have plows in the back of them. They harpoon the tanker. They drop the plows. And then dust flies up. And it's basically like digging, it's preventing them
trying
from
to hold
them
back.
Yeah, holding them back.
So bolt cutters again.
Bolt cutters are back in.
I love the bolt cutters come back in.
Then we get this dope shot where he cuts one of the chains. We see a car zig off back, because the chain got cut. And then it's being dragged still. It still has its plow down. And then a harpoon comes right at the camera, basically, right above Tom Hardy's head, right past the camera, and the camera sort of pivots around and comes back to Tom Hardy, and he's empty-handed. We think, oh no, look out, we've lost the bolt cutters. But no, they're hung up on the chain. Great.
I didn't notice that.
Well, they're still
they're still
haven't been cut.
Oh, so that's okay. Yeah, so it's still
yeah.
You can't. The bolt cutters will not die.
They're better characters than.
Do you think this would have been a better part of the movie for him to go, "That's my head"?
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my head. But straight to camera. So, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Wah.
Yeah. Right. So still bolt cutters. Still, cutting these. And I love how he's just hanging right out there. He sacrificing himself. He could get hit with any of those harpoons.
Yeah.
But he knows it's life or death, that they have to cut them or die.
There's a couple things coming up I'm not clear about. Please go, because I don't know.
Okay. A couple things here. A moment just to say how badass the Vovellini are.
BAs.
They're picking people off left and right from the war rig, from inside the war rig, from the top of the war rig.
All of them are fucking headshots, and they're all gruesome, and they all take a half
one
a
bullet,
frame.
One man. Yeah,
they happen so fast. This whole sequence, you're like, fuck, that thing.
And in case you thought that we might not see the motorcycle twins anymore, they do this badass thing where they ride up behind one of the cars that is attacking the war rig. Pull a lance from that car and stuff it in the window and just blow the shit out of him.
Oh, it's good.
It makes me smile even just thinking about
it. It's so good. So before that, I should say that there's another BA shot where they're it's the war rig and the motorcycle, and we see the motorcycle hook a hard left, almost in a sort of U-turn, and you don't know what the fuck they're doing. And then later on in the sequence, we see the Carmada, we see the harpoons, we see the plows, we see all these things coming up. And then out of the dust, we see a motorcycle coming.
Oh,
and you're like, whoa, is that another one of the, oh my God, it's the Vovellini!
Right.
And then they grab the lance and they stuff it through the window, the car blows up and it's badass. But then, of course,
the driver of that motorcycle gets nailed in the face. Mm-hmm. And the motorcycle goes down.
Yes.
And we're like, oh shit. Now, Rifle Lady, who was
Bait,
we'll just call her Bait from before, she checks on her. She's like, I can't see, I'm blind. She got hit in the face.
Right.
She's got the goggles on.
The woman with the goggles,
she's all bloody.
The situation, the woman with the goggles can't see.
Right.
It's similar to what happened before with Captain Weirdo Guy.
Right.
She's like, I can't see. So all of a sudden, Bait knows she can't. Crawl away or dodge the cars, because what happens right before that is Bait has to dodge a car coming right at her. She rolls out of the way and rolls over to
Goggle Face. Protect Goggle Face.
Yeah.
Or Goggles. Because for a while we called Capable Goggles.
Goggle
we
face.
Can't do that.
Bloody
Goggle Face. She checks it, realizes there's nothing she can do, does the only thing she can to defend her, which is to grab that rifle up, which she's so good with, and turn around and try to protect them from whatever cars are coming.
And guess who's coming?
Immortan Joe.
And the way we see that it's him is that she starts firing.
Unloads.
We see Immortan Joe, and we see
into the windshield.
Three or four bullets just lodge in the windshield. Pow, pow, pow. And it doesn't crack. And he's just gunning down. And so at the last moment, we think he's going to crack her. But what happens? No. She throws herself down on top of Bloody Goggle Face.
And because Immortan Joe is driving like a monster truck,
yep.
there's actually enough clearance underneath for it to drive right over her, thankfully.
Yeah.
What does she do? She pops back up and starts picking guys off the back of Immortan Joe's truck.
Two, at least.
Yeah, she at least...
I mean, un-fucking-phased.
Is there a time when the Vuvolini are not badass?
Can I answer that?
I don't think so.
No, the answer is no.
Thank you for answering
the
question.
This is, I would say, one of the most badass performances of physical, like, I don't want to say the actor, but the character performance. Like, what the character is doing here is so badass.
Yeah.
That she, if you track her 30 seconds of life here, she peels off, zooms up somehow unnoticed behind a car, grabs a spike out, throws it in, gets knocked off her own bike, dodges a car trying to hit her, covers her friend, picks up a rifle, shoots the three fucking kill shots, then ducks, goes under a car.
Snap, right in the medulla.
Yeah, boom, right in the medulla. Then picks up, turns around, picks off two war boys.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, that's a crazy thing that this woman has done.
But, anyway. but the scales have to be balanced.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they have to be balanced by that fat fuck, the people eater.
Yeah.
And he, you know, all of a sudden you see his rig coming in line. Now, she's facing the wrong way to see this coming, because he's behind Immortan Joe. Yeah,
and we also see that it's too low to the ground.
Yeah, that it is. There's no clearance here.
Yeah.
He's coming. And then right as she gets run, both of them get run over.
Yeah.
And ostensibly killed. They can only be
killed. Yeah.
They're killed. We cut to inside the cab, and you can see the people eater has taken control of the wheel. He's like, I'm going to run her down.
Yeah.
And it's like he's coming when he hits her. He's like, oh,
yeah,
it's a sexual thing.
You're right.
Even the driver is like, okay, you're fucked up.
Yeah. That was fucked up. That's dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That's totally right. And then, we get, so it's two people in that truck. And then we get the reaction of the two Vuvolini, providing cover. Rear cover.
Right.
They see what happened.
Yeah.
And we see on their faces that they know what happened.
Right. And we get that beautiful moment. They take the time to do where they're reaching out, and it's in memory of people gone,
passing.
People dead.
It's their witness me thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's their acknowledgement of death. It's their memorializing. It's their holding them close.
How do we get now to the thing tilting under the war rig? That's the next big badass thing that happens, right?
You know, that was part of the harpoon thing.
But did that already happen? Because that's crazy, that sequence.
Yeah, it is beautiful, the way the car just gets dragged under the war rig. And
something
just
happens
crushed.
Where a big car is attached to the war rig.
By the harpoon, and it is the wrong move.
Yeah, and they get basically slowly dragged under the wheels of the war rig, and you get this great shot of just, you see faces and these war boys just getting fucking mashed.
Yeah. It is so good. But now you've got Max on top of the war rig.
So much happening.
And he's dealt with the harpoons, he's dealt with, you know,
oh,
that.
Wait,
he's got all this.
Before we get to that, though, there's one moment I wanted to
highlight. I knew
this
was going to happen.
Yeah, we're getting through it.
Pick it up.
There's a moment where Max is literally not on the top of the tanker anymore. He's hanging on to the harpoons that have had the chains cut. He's got a leg looped over one. He's holding on to another one.
Yeah.
And he's like basically fully off the truck now, hanging on to harpoons, just trying to cut more chains.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that.
No, it's awesome. Everything's awesome.
Say it all. So then he goes back up on the top. Great. And now what's coming?
And now, you know, in wave and wave and wave, we've seen this cool thing, that cool thing, that cool thing. You know, he's cut the chains. Maybe we're going to be okay. You know, maybe we're going to get through this. No. Guess what?
Polecats!
Out of the sky. They just, you know, again, a reveal that it's not that we haven't seen the polecats, but sort of our first in this moment, in this sequence, they're like, they're coming, they're on top of you out of nowhere.
Beautiful.
Which is exactly how they feel, I'm sure.
It's beautiful.
And then they cut back to showing you exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And you get these two guys land on top of the war rig.
Yeah.
And immediately...
Wearing these little gas masks.
And they're... Right.
Cool.
Now they get picked off, unless I'm mistaken, by by some of the Vuvolini in the truck.
Well, I think the first one we see is the one Max clubs on the head and knocks him off. Is that right? Or is that later?
Yes. No, I think that's right.
Right. Okay. So Max
one
clubs
gets
a
shot,
dude in the head.
Right. Now one goes sort of swiping in and drops it. Now they're like... Why are polecats badass? Okay, well, they can drop on top. Oh, look, here's a smoke bomb for you. Yeah. They drop a smoke bomb in the roof of the cab.
Walk us through that. That's super cool. A guy, okay. Part of the strategy here is to land people on the rig.
Right.
Part of it is to hold a smoke grenade or a bomb or whatever, and then if the cab's open, just lean over, just kind of place it in, and then fly back.
Right.
Super smart.
Right. And or to lean in with a noose and put it around Furiosa's neck.
As they also do.
Right.
Very effective. Polecats,
to lean in and pick people off the truck. Yeah. To grab people, which will happen eventually, and which I'm sure might have been part of, you know, pulling Furiosa out.
Yeah.
Now she's getting choked, and another guy, it's got to be another guy. There's so many polecats.
Yeah, loads of polecats.
Because he comes in with like one of those hedge trimmers.
Yeah.
Because I think
here's the thing. Yeah.
Right. Because the keeper of the seeds does some damage or shoots one of them.
Old Boney's knocking off some peeps pretty hard with her gun.
She's got the shotgun.
She's pretty into it. She's cackling.
Yeah, she's cackling. And he leans in with the hedge trimmers and trims the side of her head.
It's before her neck, right?
Yeah.
Cuts her neck.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's got this scarf there, so you can't really see it.
It is an interesting choice.
Yeah.
For them to not show the blood when she sits back down, and it's kind of more terrifying, more horrifying,
because you saw it happen, effective moment.
And she leans back and you can't see it, and she's got that look on her face that people who have been gravely injured, that moment of calm and shock.
That one we know. Oh, yeah. Back up before we get to this. So the guy with the basically chainsaw or hedge trimmers, whatever, comes down. She reaches up to him, I think maybe grabs him or something. He slices her neck, and then is it a flare gun that he gets in the chest? Maybe it's a shotgun. Either it's a flare gun or a shotgun to the chest, point blank.
I think we've already had the flare gun, but it's some... Yeah.
Right, you're right, we use it already. So it's some sort of point blank range shotgun thing.
Yeah.
And this polecat guy flies the fuck back.
Yeah.
And she's left alone, and she kind of reaches up and gently touches her neck.
Yeah.
Where we've seen her get sliced.
Right.
We know she's been sliced. And she sort of sits back down... Yeah. Into the cab very slowly.
Right, we get the sound, that's that muffled sound from her perspective. We everybody else goes out of focus again, like we had in some previous moments.
Yep.
And it's just her moment.
Yeah.
And we have to sit with her and what's happened. You hear people, Toast is like, "Are you okay? Whatever. I think she's been hit, or I think she's been hurt."
Right.
And we know that she has.
I think she's hurt.
That was a good Zoe Kravitz.
I think she's hurt.
That was better than Zoe Kravitz. Stop it.
A mean Zoe Kravitz. Check my IMDb page. I'm known for it.
You're known for your Zoe Kravitz.
It's my number three credit. Right. But it's a nice fading. We're definitely from her perspective here.
Right.
We are in her fuzzed brain.
Right. And she knows she's going out because what does she do?
Reaches behind her
looking for those seeds. It's going to be the last thing that she wants to touch.
Fucking and beautiful.
And is it the DAG who gives her the...
Of course it is.
Of course.
It's the DAG.
Oh, man.
If it's anything good, it's the DAG. That's what we've learned.
Right?
If it's a clever moment, a clever line, or a good performance, it's the fucking DAG.
It's the fucking DAG.
Anyway, she's great.
She's great.
Hands of the seeds, and she clutches them in this beautiful way.
Yeah.
And then I love this choice because she's been so in control and so powerful the whole film, this character, this actress. And this quiet moment of desperation here where she is not holding the seeds, she is clutching the seeds to her chest.
Well, she is the keeper of the seeds.
Exactly. So I really like that moment. I really think it's character appropriate. It doesn't make her weak. It makes her strong, in my opinion, to have that need at the end of her life to hold something to her chest.
Here's an issue. I know we've talked about it briefly, at length before, but the idea that she says, they have the conversation about Ms. Giddy saying that it's anti-seed. Mm-hmm. You know, bullets are anti-seed, sowing death as opposed to life. And she is, the idea of cultivating life comes up again, with the Keeper of the Seeds. Something occurred to me when I was listening to the episode of the podcast that came out today, earlier in my
podcast?
Car, our own podcast. It's the only podcast. I listen to several podcasts. But when our... But I'm not going to plug them on ours. But I was thinking, we were talking about the bullet farmer, and I'm like, bullet farmer.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He's, once again, it's a cultivation thing. Immortan Joe is the agriculture, like he knows that's the power. You don't grow bullets.
Yeah.
You don't farm bullets. Why didn't they just call him the Bullet King? or, you know.
That's a good name, the Bullet
right,
King.
Right, or the Bullet Maker.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Armorer. Why do they call him the Armorer?
Yeah, Bullet Farmer's or, just better.
Bullet Farmer is, it's weird, and again, oddly specific. I mean,
yeah. You're right, somebody came, obviously connected
somebody
to that whole
somebody came up with that.
Why do we not clock that earlier?
I don't know.
No, good catch.
That's the beauty of this film.
Like,
I'll watch it over and over.
You say a thing that feels so obvious, and we're like, what, did we talk about that? Did we miss that?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Oh, great point.
Yeah, we could do a whole podcast about the things that we missed on our podcast.
Oh, let's not do that, though. That
you know
sounds
what? Maybe that's the way to extend the podcast. We start over again.
We listen to episode one and critique it?
Yeah. Guys, you gotta...
God, how dumb do we sound in episode one?
No, it's the worst.
Is it bad?
Well...
I don't know anything, do I?
You know, I don't either.
I couldn't even come up with the name of a character an hour and 36 minutes into the film.
And I'm going to make it feel even worse. Not just only an hour and 36 minutes into the film, but like 35 weeks into our podcast.
Oh, I'm so mad at myself. I'm so angry at myself right now.
Guys, you got to give us ideas to extend the life of this podcast. We are rapidly, and if we don't get any of these guests.
Idiot.
If we don't get any of these guests, it's going to come sooner rather than later.
Really frustrating.
And then what are we going to do with our time?
I feel...
Miserable
about
this. Come up with ways for Travis and I to hang out. Because I have a feeling...
want to remember her
that
name
if
next
this,
time.
Don't worry about her name. I have a feeling that if we let this podcast end, you and I are not going to hang out as much. As no. much as we love each other.
We probably won't be friends.
I wasn't going
to
go that
far. Oh, sorry. I'm just trying to yes and you. Yes and we won't be friends anymore.
Don't yes and me talking about how our friendship is going to be over.
This is how improv works.
Improv fucking sucks then. It's depressing and it's sad.
We're going to figure it out, though. We're going to keep doing things.
Okay.
Let's talk about that off air. Also, please tweet at us.
Yeah, tweet at us. Comments. We have a couple people who are...
We got peeps who interact.
I hope we've got people. You know, I don't know. Okay. I don't know how to do metrics or numbers. I wish I knew how many
people...
Does
anyone know how iTunes works? Sidebar?
Yeah, I did a little Google on that.
Okay.
And apparently iTunes gives you no way to gauge any
Great.
Sort of
We don't
metrics.
Know how many people are listening. Fantastic. We know we're killing Podomatic, though.
Right?
Slaughtering.
We're killing on Podomatic. Shout out to Podomatic for making this possible.
Yeah, but also charging us to do it.
Okay, also, anyway. Right, exactly.
There's a moment we didn't talk about. This is gonna, now we're going to fill in the gaps. That's the four-minute
points. Because that's pretty much, yeah.
But there's already things I'm thinking about that we didn't cover. There's a moment when Tom Hardy gets back on the top of the sort of walkway. Yeah, trellis is the wrong word, but like...
Transom. No, it's not a transom.
Anyway, the top of the walkway. And we have one of those sound things where it's all his perspective. He loses. What is there an explosion that deafens him for a second?
It's...
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. What explosion was that? Because I...
Is it the car blowing up? Was it that?
Is the car going under? No, I think it's...
I don't think it's that.
No, it's because I think it's... it's something blowing up behind them, though, or above them. Was it one of the bombs that that the Polecats were throwing? I forget, but you're right. The same thing almost with Old Boney, where we get... Where it's all of a sudden it's muffled and we get it with him because of an explosion.
Yeah.
You're right.
And he's crawling and then I think that's where the first Polecat drops in is right there when he goes deaf, the world gets fuzzy for a second, he's disoriented.
So maybe that is when the truck goes under the rig. Maybe. You know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, there's a nice sound design moment that we always try to point those out when they really make that moment. Again, this is a crazy, crazy sequence with so many things happening, but even though, and we didn't count the 10 or 15 headshots that you see throughout as they're picking off drivers of cars, cars are smashing the other cars. All this, we gave you the bare bones of what's happening, but it is action-packed the whole way through. But throughout, a lot of the exposition in terms of where new characters are coming from, or exposition, audio exposition, is done through the sound design and done through the camera orientation.
Yeah.
Also, like, we have a really good grasp of where everything is, which is remarkable given the amount of stuff that just happened.
Yeah.
We know
where
all our major players are.
Yeah.
We know where Max Furiosa, Nux, all of Avellini.
Right.
We know where
the
people eater is, where the wives are, we know where Morton Joe is. Yeah. Somehow, in the midst of a chaotic action scene, by using the moments of tying our main characters together in those action moments, he also gives us a sense of geography of where everyone is. And that is really crazy, if you think about it.
Well, somebody did some sort of, I don't know, it's on the internet, but they sped up this action sequence and other action sequences from other movies.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah.
And it made sense.
This is the only one that, even at high speed, you know exactly what's going on.
It's really, really, really crazy. Like, if you think about, I mean, the thought process has to be, how do we, without just showing where people are, how do we exposit where all of our main characters are through action? Well, this guy has to meet this guy, this guy has to meet this guy, she has to be here. So they've just really intricately plotted this out so we can track the geography of this and the character development of all this together. That is, I really am stunned by that. Like, it strikes me as incredibly difficult, yeah, extraordinarily profound, and just storytelling of the top notch,
and also,
top degree.
In a really interesting turn that I didn't really notice before, this is the scene where we really get to meet all of the Vivoli, where they're all distinguished. Yeah. Before we met, sort of two, we get to, you know, introduce
to. There was like
a
couple old bonies, it felt like.
Right, right.
It's like a bunch of old bonies.
Old bonies, but in this sequence, all of them are very specific.
Absolutely. We got the mechanic down there who sort of knows what she's doing. She's detaching the rig. You got your two snipers, two sharpshooters. You got, I can't emphasize this enough, the motorcycle and the sniper on the back, bait on the back of the motorcycle, yeah, is badass.
Yeah, yeah. In so many ways.
And then we have old Boney sitting there riding shotgun, literally, right, with her shotgun.
Yeah.
Popping people off.
I never noticed that.
She's shotgunning.
Really, she's riding shotgun with a shotgun.
If she would have been shotgunning a beer at the same time, it would have been a triple shotgun, and wow, it would have been amazing.
Wow.
But she didn't drink. They don't have water, remember?
Right. What are the odds that they're going to have beer?
Yes, zero.
Zero. But it is Australia.
Beer.
Beer. They Foster's is Australian for shit. It's, yeah, they don't believe in Foster's there.
Oh, you know what? That's like, I drank a Newcastle in London. He's like, why are you drinking that piss? I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
That's hilarious.
And he ordered a Budweiser. And I was like, what are you doing?
You he's know
like,
what? You still have better taste than that guy. Well, I don't care if he's, you know, cold in Newcastle or beer to Newcastle or whatever it, yeah, is. It's
just Newcastle any is import better than, in any country feels like the thing you should order. But objectively, Newcastle is better than Budweiser,
yeah,
which
no
is now called America.
Unless you're in Prague and the Budweiser, the true Budweiser, the Budvar is actually delicious.
The Pilsner's there.
Every beer
Pilsner
there.
Or Kel.
You know, very good. Beer is cheaper than water in Prague.
Is that true?
It's like, and it's like a religion there. I mean, the monks brew beer there. It's, huh, it is truly one of the great world capitals of beer.
I had some there. I was quite. You know what? One of my favorite meals was in Český Krumlov. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes, you are.
Because, am I?
Yeah, because Tara tells me so she went to Český. It's a little storybook town.
Yeah, I got stranded, yeah, there.
Great place to be stranded.
For a day, and I had a tomato. This podcast has gone really weird, but I had tomato soup and a Pilsner, and I'll never forget that meal.
Tomato soup and a Pilsner, or tomato soup in a Pilsner?
No,
okay, much better than,
yeah, side
than
by side.
How I heard it.
And I was like, God, I'm quite happy to be stranded here in Český Krumlov. And my girlfriend at the time who was traveling with me was like, are we in Český Krumlov? What is happening? It was a long story. We'll get into it.
And yet you were actually in Český Krumlov.
Yeah, that was a, we didn't mean to go there, is the whole thing.
You know, I hear it's a magical place.
It's beautiful.
Congratulations.
Thanks for having me there.
How do you feel about doing the podcast at night? This is the first time we've done the podcast at night.
Yeah, I feel
But I have
about
weird,
it.
You know, because I have a baby now.
Yeah, I feel
It's
I feel
still
fine about
fucking
it.
Hot in here.
Yeah, it's not terrible. I mean, I've been in the heat all day. It's not too bad. I do think my voice is a little tired,
okay,
but I came pretty amped up. And like I said, I've had
Me
some
too.
Emotional trauma recently, and I had worked myself out of it by the time I got to your house a little bit. But just by like being
lie to me and say you were feeling really depressed until we started the podcast, and this podcast has healed you.
Here's what happened, Yuri. Like, if I can be honest with you,
okay,
I showed up a fucking wreck. I felt emotionally distraught. I felt like basically a sack of skin holding in tears. Mm-hmm. And then I saw you, and everything got better.
Just melted away.
It all just, I turned those tears into flesh and bone.
Tell your friends, if they're feeling down, they just need to listen to this show.
Yeah, please tell your friends, by the way, seriously.
Yeah, actually tell your
friends
to listen to
this
show.
Please, we'd love to get more listeners in. Please follow us at You Are Awaited. And we have a Facebook page.
No. Oh, but we have, Martine, yeah, we have, there is a Mad Max Fury Road Facebook page.
Right.
That we are occasionally posted on.
Yeah.
And Wasteland Weekend is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, we can't go.
I know. Everybody keeps Facebook, you know, tagging me in the Wasteland Weekend thing when they see the video on it, thinking that I've, you know, oh my God, Yuri would love this.
Yeah.
We're aware of it. We wanted to broadcast live from there. We can't go.
So next year.
So next year, if you even remember who we are and what this podcast is, maybe we'll show
up. Don't forget us. Don't you ever fucking forget us.
Don't forget the Knight Rider.
Don't forget the Knight Rider. Witness us.
My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Sintel.
And you are awaited.